All right, well, we are looking at Matthew chapter 13. We have already done the parable in Matthew 13 of the wheat and the weeds. And before the disciples ask Christ for an interpretation of that parable, he hits them with two more. So we have the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and then we have the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, which are right together in Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. In verse 31, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened." So those two parables are very closely related to one another. There was no gap in between, and we don't have a specific interpretation of these parables by Christ, but I think it's a good thing to just start off with the question, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is like was used six different times as he introduced these parables, and these parables were directly responsible for describing this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, or it's interchangeably used in Scripture as the kingdom of God. So that, I think, is good to identify. You know, Christ went to such great lengths to explain and to define this this paradigm, this new thing that was coming called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Well, a good definition is that it is the spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those submissive to God. The spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those submissive to God. That is the kingdom. You might remember when John the Baptist was introducing Christ, he said, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Because Christ was coming. He was introducing something brand new. And he was describing this kingdom in such great detail, it's good for us to recognize what he was trying to do. He was trying to set up a scenario whereby they could understand the changes that were coming. Because, you'll remember, Israel was very much mistaken or confused about what it was going to look like. They were looking for the kingdom. Over and over again, they're asking King Christ, "Are you going to now set up your kingdom?" So they were very much in tune with this kingdom idea. But the kingdom idea was that when that kingdom came, Christ, through Israel, was going to destroy everyone who disagreed with them, everyone who was at odds with them, every enemy of Israel would be completely obliterated, and that was their understanding of the kingdom. So they would think naturally that if the leader of the kingdom, the Christ, would come into their midst, he would be easily recognizable. He would come with majesty and glory. He would split the skies open, and he would come with a sword in his hand, and he would clean house, and they would be their rightful position as the people of God. But Christ came describing to them not how he was going to kill them, but how they were going to kill him. That is not what they were looking for. He was completely upside down from what they expected. And all throughout Christ's teaching, much of it is in paradox, meaning the things that seem contradictory. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. These are ideas that are kingdom ideas. He who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven is going to be the servant of all. that's not how it works here on earth. So this is a new paradigm, a new system of government and understanding and interaction that those who are believers in Christ have not only the privilege of, but the responsibility of operating within. So these new rules that Christ is describing for us are being handed down in these parables. He's describing to them how the kingdom, God's system of government and interrelations work. Now, a lot of those things have to do with our relationship with God, but a lot of the Beatitudes, a lot of the parables have to do with our relationship with each other. So it's a paradigm, it's a system of interacting that is completely different from human wisdom. And that is what Christ is trying to communicate through these parables, is that there's something brand new God is doing. And when you get on board with it, you aren't going to act like that. You're going to be in a very different set of circumstances. The rules are different for you. So what would be the purpose of the mustard seed and the leaven for the disciples that he was talking to? So let's think about the mustard seed. What is significant about it?
Small.
Almost, I mean, you'd lose it in a heartbeat. But it grows into basically an overgrown bush. But there are many accounts in Israel in that region where they've been 8 to 12 feet tall. There's accounts of mustard trees that a horse and rider could ride underneath of. So there's certainly the ability of a bird to not, and by the way, it says that they make their nest there. That's where they live. That's not where they visit. That's not where they hang out. That's where they shack up. They live in that bush, in that tree. So a mustard tree is something that is useful. It produces fruit. The mustard is used and is very still a valuable crop today. And the idea is that this mustard seed is so tiny, and yet it grows into something that is incredibly beneficial. So what does leaven do? It makes the dough rise. So the other parable, he says, is like a woman who hides the leaven in 3 pecks of flour, I guess it says. So, why would that be a picture of the kingdom? And I think the main point, and that is absolutely one of the big issues, is that the kingdom of God is going to rise. It's going to expand. But also, notice the priority that it makes of telling us that she hid the leaven in. And that the idea of hid it there is not to keep it away from someone else. It wasn't something she was doing that was nefarious in nature. She was simply putting the leaven inside of the dough to make it rise, but it was completely unseen. You can't see the leaven doing what it does. And that is the nature of the kingdom of God, is that the kingdom is something that is here right now, but it's a mystery. It's not visible. The kingdom is at work in us. The kingdom is the spiritual relationship of God with his children who are obedient to him. So it's important to recognize that the kingdom is not something that's way off in the future. The kingdom is right now. We are a part of the kingdom. John 18:36 says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. So this is a spiritual kingdom that Christ is talking about. This is Christ talking to Pilate before his crucifixion. So there is no physical representation like the mystery of the leaven. It's hidden. It's not visible. And it's something that wasn't predicted in the Old Testament. It's something that was a mystery because it wasn't talked about. It wasn't understood from the Old Testament. What we're doing right now in the church age, the church is what God is working through in this world, through his kingdom, the church. That wasn't seen in the Old Testament. If you think of biblical prophecy in the Old Testament as projecting mountaintops into the future, where a prophet could look out into the future, but they could see only the mountaintops, the valleys would be hidden. So there are main points of future activity that God has revealed to prophets in the Old Testament. This is not one of them. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church age, is not something that was foretold in the Old Testament. It's something that God is doing now, but not something that was known. That's why it's a mystery. That's why it is invisible.
Jesus
was, but not the way he's working in the world right now through his church.
Okay.
The way this new thing that Christ was introducing, that wasn't something that was predicted in the Old Testament. But Christ himself was.
They knew he was coming, just didn't know why.
They knew that he was coming to set up their kingdom, but that's why they were so confused when his first concern with the paralytic that was let down through the roof was, your sins are forgiven. Okay. He didn't come there to get his sins forgiven, did he? But that was what he got first because of his faith. Then he got physical healing to prove that Christ had the power to forgive sins. So the kingdom that Christ wanted to set up was internal. It was spiritual. And they were expecting an external physical kingdom. So that's where they mixed up what God was planning to do, is they were looking forward to something that God wasn't ready for yet. God's more interested in our hearts than he is in our homeland. He wants us to be spiritually rightly related to him before he wants us to be rulers and kings and queens. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here, right now. Repent. And that repentance is necessary for entrance into the kingdom. In John chapter 3, this is where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed to you that I say to you, you must be born again. So, we have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual kingdom that God is interested in and is working on right now. And that's our job as his church, is to proclaim and build his church, to expand his kingdom like the mustard seed and the leaven, to expand and grow his kingdom by introducing the good news of the gospel to sinful men. So, again, going back to our question earlier, why would it have been important for the disciples to understand the lesson of the mustard seed and the leaven? It was unseen. They were looking for the physical. They needed to understand that, hey, this is starting off with, I think it was in total, 120 followers of Christ after his resurrection, that were just completely disciples, apostles of Christ. That's not very much. When you're staring down the barrel of the mightiest military war machine in human history, in Rome, 120 people isn't a lot. So their feeling was, how are we not going to be squashed? how are we going to survive with this new kingdom that's going on if you're not setting it up physically? So they were very confused as to how they were going to survive, how they weren't going to be just completely obliterated by the power and might of the Roman armies. Well, the lesson of the mustard seed is, hey, we're small, but we're going to grow. I think so, too, very much. Mm-hmm. And Christ's church isn't necessarily about physical representations. I know some people don't feel like they've been to church unless they hear a certain kind of music, unless the building has a steeple, or if they don't sit in a pew, it's not a church. Doesn't matter. If you are joining together with like-minded believers to worship God and be instructed in His Word and prepare to do ministry for Him, you are in His church. Doesn't matter what the facilities look like. It's not the outside, it's what's inside that matters. Daniel 2:44 says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. So Daniel in the Old Testament is predicting the kingdom that they were looking for. He's predicting that's going to happen, but that's not what happened when Christ came. He came to set up a spiritual kingdom. Daniel's talking about a physical. Is there going to be a time where God is going to establish a physical kingdom on earth? Yeah. After the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ is going to be the physical representation of the kingdom of God on earth, headquartered in Jerusalem. But right now, the physical representation that's predicted in Daniel is not here yet. It's going to happen, but we have the responsibility of being the invisible kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God, and to adhere to the rules that He laid out for us. First shall be last, the last shall be first. All that upside down, illogical thinking that God calls us to. So the spiritual reign of Christ on earth, that is called the church. The physical reign of Christ on earth, that is called the millennium.